Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Welcome to Good News in the Morning. This is Reverend Juliet Schimpf speaking, and I'd like to welcome you to today's broadcast, which has been sponsored through the generous support of an anonymous donor. I'd like to invite you to visit our website at www.gncm.ca. That's short for Good News Christian Ministries.ca. And today we're going to be looking at peace. How to attain peace in this turbulent, turbulent world. You know, the Global Language Monitor has listed the top 25 words that is used the most frequently in the past decade. Here's a sample of them. First, WMD, weapons of mass destruction. 9/11, bailout. And refugee. And the word of the decade that tops the list is actually two, namely global warming. That speaks to the sense of stress and anxiety in our world today. We have war amongst us. We have global warming. We have election frenzy. We have busy, busy lives with families and kids. How on earth can we attain peace? Well, the good news today is that it's actually promised to us. I want to read to you from Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. I'd like to look at this verse this morning. It's actually a passage surrounding the birth of Christ. And we are indeed nearing Advent and the time of Christmas. And so I think this passage is timely. And my prayer today for you, the listener, is that you will, after this broadcast, seek and realize the peace of Christ. So today we'll actually look at two parts in particular, namely the peace of God, but also the God of peace. The peace of God and the God of peace. Let's start then by looking at the context surrounding Luke chapter 2, verse 14. You know, in the time of Jesus, there existed what was called the Pax Romana, which was the Roman peace. The Romans claimed that they had brought about peace in the entire Middle East and Europe. But what kind of peace was it? It was actually a peace built upon terror, militarism, force, and intimidation by the power of the Roman army. What they really had was a peace of subjection. Few would call this type of peace peace today. In fact, the Pax Romana had been in effect since 27 BC. But let me reassure you that the absence of war does not guarantee the presence of peace. The Stoic philosopher Epictetus once said, "While the emperor may give peace from war on land and sea, he is unable to give peace from grief, envy, and strife. He cannot give peace of heart for which man yearns more than even outward peace." Those are wise words. Wise words indeed. It points to the distinction between external peace, between nations, between neighbors, and then internal peace. Into this very context, an extraordinary announcement of peace is delivered from God to ordinary people. Who does God choose to announce his promise of peace? Well, he chooses to announce it to shepherds. Now, shepherds were despised by the Orthodox people of the day. They were quite unable to keep the details of the ceremonial law. They could not observe all the meticulous hand washings and rules. And their flocks made it far too constant demands on them. And so, frankly, the Orthodox looked down on them. But these were the very people God chose to promise peace to. So make note that he's on the lookout for the ordinary. And in verse 8, we read in Luke 2 that there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks. And in verse 9, an angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them. In verse 10, but the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause joy." Now, in all likelihood, these were very special shepherds. We have long known that in the temple, morning and evening, an unblemished lamb was offered as a sacrifice to God. Now, to see that the supply of the perfect offerings was always available to the temple, there were flocks pastured nearby in Bethlehem, and it is most likely these shepherds who were in charge of the flocks. Isn't it a lovely thought that the shepherds who looked after the temple lambs would be the first to see the Lamb of God? Well, the angel appears. And take note, he does not appear in Caesar's palace. He does not appear in the temple. He came to shepherds. And he came saying, "Do not be afraid. Do not be anxious." Instead, he promises peace. I want you to meditate upon your own lives as you listen to this next song and meditate about whether or not you truly have peace. And when we come back, I'll speak to the clues that God reveals in these passages of Scripture about how he can fill us with peace today.
Who taught the sun where to stand in the morning? And who told the ocean you can only come this far? Show the moon where to hide till evening. Whose words alone can catch a falling star? Well, I know my Redeemer lives. I know my
Welcome back to Good News in the Morning. Today we're looking at what it means to experience peace. And we're looking, firstly, at the peace of God. And then we'll look at the God of peace. But first, for the peace of God, I wonder how peaceful you feel this morning. It's true that life is very hectic, and in my own life, I struggle daily to realize the peace of Christ. I have a mother battling a serious cancer. She lives currently 5 hours away from me. My husband and I are working on adoption, and it's taken us at least 5 years now. And I have a very demanding new job as executive director at a refugee house for women called Cardi House. So in the midst of all this, how do I and how do you find peace? Well, there are some clues in today's passage. I want you to look with me at Luke chapter 2, verse 10. But an angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." Verse 11, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." We see our first clues as to what the peace of God entails in this passage. Specifically, we see that peace resides in the city of David, in a child born who is called Savior, Christ, and Lord. So when we're looking for peace, our first clue is to look for a Savior, the Christ, and our Lord. A Savior is someone who confronts all the sin of the world with regal authority. The Christ is someone who confronts all the chaos of the world. It's the Messiah who will be able to realize the true hegemony, which is the kingdom of God. And the Lord, well, that means the one who confronts all eternity and all ages on our behalf. Friends, if we truly want peace, we need someone to confront sin, to confront chaos, and to confront all eternity and all spiritual enemy. That's why the first clue is to receive the Christ, the Savior, and the Lord. But we see a second clue in verse 12. The angel completed his message by giving the shepherds a sign. It says in verse 12, "This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." The second clue for us to find the peace of God is to find this child. This child who was wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger is none other than Jesus Christ. God is saying right here, if you want peace, you must find it in my Son, my only begotten Son, who is God incarnate, born in Bethlehem, born to a Virgin Mary, and born and wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Now, it's true that this verse and these instructions would help the shepherds to recognize the baby, but it would also attest to the truth of the angel's words. You see, in Bethlehem that night, there might be one or two babies wrapped in swaddling clothes, but surely only one who was lying in a manger. Now, this peace of God, is really ultimately found in a person. That's the key here. It's found in a person and a small baby at that. And this fulfills the promise in Isaiah 9, which says, "For us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and what? Prince of Peace." So listener, if you really are yearning for peace in your life today, it's not found within yourself. Within ourselves is a whole host of things that actually work against peace. We have pride. We have envy. We have bitterness, rage. We have adrenaline in our systems. We must find peace in a person and in Christ at that. And that means we do not look within. We also don't look outside ourselves to anything but Christ. He is the Prince of Peace. We don't look to self-help books. We don't look to celebrities. We don't look to shopping sprees. We don't look to gurus on 10-step teachings. We need only look to Christ. So we've looked at the clues in this scripture about how to attain peace. We need a Savior. We need to accept the Christ who also is to become our Lord. And we also need to look for the child who was born in a manger. The very last clue given to us in these passages about the peace of God is, if you look carefully, in the second half of verse 14, it says, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." That's an interesting peace. To experience the peace of God, we need to have the favor of God resting upon us. You see, we tend to put the focus on ourselves to achieve peace or to experience it. And really, here's how different translations put it. The CEV says, "Praise God in heaven, peace on earth to everyone who pleases God." And the NASB puts it, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." So that begs the question, if we want to have peace and we've got to please God, how do we please God? Well, the good news is that it's not through anything we do. It's not works. We simply need to accept the gift of Christmas, which is the gift of Christ born in the manger. All right, we're going to pause and listen to another beautiful song. And when we come back, we're going to look at the God of peace to further understand the peace that can be ours today.
So I can see the world from there. I may never ride the waves and taste the salty ocean air, or build a bridge that will last 100 years. But no matter where the road leads, one thing is always clear. I'm not afraid to
Welcome back to Good News in the Morning. Today we're looking at how to experience peace. You know, the shopping malls are getting more and more full as we approach Christmas. There's a sense of busyness in every parking lot and at every gas station. How are we to achieve peace? Well, a few moments ago we looked at the peace of God and how it is promised to us in Jesus Christ, born a babe and found wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger by the shepherds. We want now to look at the God of peace. The God of peace. And in this section, we need to appreciate that to view the manger, we must look at it through the shadow of the cross. It's one thing to accept a cute, innocent babe, but when we accept that babe, we do so knowing that that babe was born to die, that that babe would grow up to be a man who would, of his own will, surrender his life and surrender it through the excruciating death on a cross. So we need to look at the babe born in a manger, but let's now bring in the cross. Colossians 1 says in verses 19 through 20, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Christ, and through him to reconcile to himself all things." How? "By making peace through his blood shed on the cross." The peace of God comes at a price. It's a high price indeed. It's the blood of his only son shed on the cross. And in Ephesians 2 says about Jesus Christ, "For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall." How? "By abolishing in his flesh through the cross, and by making and establishing peace." All right, so what kind of peace are we talking about here? The peace that Christ offers us is peace, first and foremost, with our God, our Maker. And then, of course, peace with ourselves, and by extension, peace with our neighbor. C.S. Lewis says this, "God cannot give us happiness nor peace apart from himself. Because it is not there, there is no such thing." So we first must go to God to find this peace, and God himself points us to the old rugged cross to find the peace. How? By embracing the cross and trusting that the blood of the cross does all the work. That's why Christ yelled out from the cross, "It is finished." We don't need to have a scorecard where we count our good works. We don't trust in ourselves to save ourselves. We trust that the blood did it all for us. That's why we sing as Christians so many songs about the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So what does this peace look like? Well, we tend to think that peace refers first and foremost to the absence of wars and conflict and strife. But I must point out that peace is not the absence of conflict, but really the ability to cope with it. No, the peace that God has in mind and the peace that the angels declare in Luke chapter 2 means peace with God through reconciliation by the cross. Peace with God. And Billy Graham puts it this way, "Peace can be experienced only when you have received divine pardon. When you have been reconciled to God, and then when you have harmony within." So Billy Graham is saying that the peace of God ultimately is freedom from the haunting sense of our own sin. That's why Jesus Christ says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, but as I alone give you." So once we receive that divine pardon, friends, we can then have peace within ourselves and by extension, peace with our neighbors. It doesn't mean our lives are easygoing. There's conflict. I mentioned that in my life, I'm struggling with adoption, a busy job, and an ailing mother. So I have the challenges, but By daily yielding over to Christ, I do experience His peace when I ask for one main thing, and that is the gift of His presence. You see, as Billy Graham concludes, in Christ we are relaxed and at peace in the midst of confusions, bewilderments, and perplexities. The storm rages, but our hearts are at rest. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank You for the promise of peace that You give to us through Your Son, born as a babe, declared our Savior, Lord, and Christ. And we thank You for the peace that we also receive through the cross. My prayer is that listeners today will call out to You for their peace, surrender their lives, and fill up on every good gift You have to offer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.